So what would you say is the best advice that you can provide to those who are interested in perhaps becoming more involved, but they're not necessarily able to be as engaged as a result of having a busy schedule?
Potentially the most important lesson that I learned in my time in university regarding the institution of a university is the fact that the tuition fees, the administration fees, everything you're paying for, you're not paying for lessons to write an exam. You're paying an institution to develop you into the person that you need to be to better the world. So your classes, your coursework, and your exams are, it's only one piece of the puzzle over there that you need to work on to help develop yourself. And everything else over there, it's not formally told to you, but the institution is there to develop you in any way that you're able to kind of initiate that process. Speaking with professors one-on-one, letting them know an idea you have, speaking with other students, talking with guidance counselors, this and that. And that's everything that I did. When it clicked in my head that there was another student group, Montreal University had the sports business group, the first one before us. It clicked in my head, you know, how are people doing things in some schools but not in others? So some institutions might not be as open about it as others are, but every school is there to help develop you, and they're open and receptive to hear what you have to say. So if maybe your courses are lacking, or you're losing some interest in the school, you're finding it difficult to find student groups or whatever it may be that you're interested in, it really is up to you as long as you really want it. You can do whatever you want on campus over there, barring that you're within the rules, but you can do whatever you want that pertains to your interest over there as long as it really does show that you're developing yourself and that you're looking to develop other students. So my biggest advice is really think about what you want to do. Think about how you can learn outside of the classroom, whether it's personal readings or whatever it may be, and then think about how you can implement that into some sort of action. Create a student group or join a student group. Go to events or create an event. Network. Just be open and engage with the professors. They live the life that you're currently living now. They know what it's like to be a student, to be stressed from class and things like that. And maybe you don't have enough time to maybe put 20, 30 hours a week in a student group, but maybe you can do something for 10 or 5 hours a week. Maybe you can write a paper for the school newspaper and things like that. So there's a lot of opportunities, and there's an immense world for you to discover and to help make other opportunities for other students as well. So I guess that would be my biggest advice. Just understand that you're there at university not just to study, you're there to grow. That's the most important part.
Definitely. I agree with you 100%. And the one thing that students oftentimes need to understand is that professors are there to help you.
Use the
resources that are around you. Don't be afraid to speak to your professors, speak to your deans, speak to the academics that are around you, speak to students who are, you know, perhaps in their second, third, fourth year, and see how you can become more involved.
Yeah, students need to understand that, I mean, the professors are academics at the end of the day, and they really do appreciate those that are looking to make an impact, looking to kind of exercise their own intellect and develop their own brain. So, you know, they like to live vicariously through the students.
That's true.
It's true. They really do. And they do like to find like-minded students and people that want to grow and make an impact on campus. And I mean, at the same time, it looks good on their resumes as well. They want to be involved with the campus. They want to show their administration that they care about the school and the students and the younger generation. So
definitely. Veteran, with your background, what is the best advice that you can provide to the students who are interested in perhaps pursuing a degree in business management and marketing?
Yeah, the best advice, I think marketing is a very, I don't want to say a generic term, but a very large umbrella term. And there's a lot of different directions that you can go in. So if you're doing marketing for a company like a consumer packaged goods, or working at the NATO Association of Canada, etc., marketing is going to be completely different wherever you go, depending on the industry. I think the key is to understand there's no degree that's excluded from international relations. Whatever degree you decide to pursue, that's just going to be your specific asset that you're bringing into the political world. So getting a Bachelor of Commerce, I had a communications minor over there, so I had a lot of writing, I had a lot of kind of analysis of text and things like that, and that helped me get a much more, I guess, articulate look on my education as opposed to just the economics that I was studying. And so when you go to pursue your degree, you have a lot of opportunity to kind of adjust the equation of how you're studying. You can change the variables in the equation. You can get this major or that major or whatever it may be. If you're going to be doing a marketing major, it's important to understand how big that term is and whether you want to focus on public relations or community involvement or marketing research, as I have. I chose marketing research because I knew I wanted to get into politics. I didn't want to write commercials and write, brochures, for example. I wanted to do something where I was analyzing numbers, that I could get a concise kind of outcome on something, that I can make a business decision, etc. Because I do want to do something within an economic sphere in politics. So that's the importance of having a Bachelor of Commerce degree and specifically a marketing research background. And so I guess the takeaway of all of that is you'll never be excluded within the degree. The opportunity is there for you to just figure out how does your degree apply to international relations and politics.
In terms of international issues today, what would you say are a few areas of concern that require more attention by the media as we speak?
I think I have a personal bias for this, obviously. So I'm from the Balkan region of Eastern Europe. To me, the migrant crisis is the largest one. Just on a humanitarian level, it's obviously massive and the biggest thing that we're dealing with right now. But outside of that, I think people what they're not understanding is where the migrant crisis is happening is these are in poor, unstable regions of Europe. The poorest regions of Europe, the Balkan region, it's a highway from the Middle East to Europe. It's such an important geographical area. And every nation over there has tense relations with their neighbor. I mean, just the fact that about six states at the moment, they were all part of one country just around 20 years ago that shared a common ideology and culture, and now there's six different nations over there that are kind of angry at this country but not at that country, and the politics that go on over there, it's amazing. At the same time, Greece has a financial crisis and political crisis, and now they're expected to handle a migrant crisis. They already have tense relations with Turkey, and now they're forced to work with Turkey on the migrants. They're forced to work with Macedonia on the border, even though they have a name dispute over there. They have tense relations with Albania. So every country over there is surrounded by, I guess, a hostile environment, and they're forced to work with, I don't want to call them their enemies, but it's going under the rug a little bit for people to see that migrant crisis is a big deal, but you don't understand how it's affecting the actual countries as well. I mean, these people don't have money already, and now they're really using all of their emergency funds to help people that are fleeing just a terrible, disastrous civil war in Syria, right? So it's just a series of unfortunate events in that region. I think that it's consistently been like that for history in that region. And I think it's about time that we just kind of tackle that corner of Europe and figure it out. And like I said, I am biased. Of course,
we all are.
We all are. But I think it's important as long as you're doing good work and doing something that's of moral value and things like that. So helping the migrant region the migrant crisis in the Balkan region, I think that's the largest issue right now at the moment.
And what programs do you think should be implemented in order to assist in educating more people about the migrant crisis in the Balkans? Oftentimes in international relations and affairs, people focus on certain areas and major issues of concern. And oftentimes what people do is when the media reports on a major issue, then the public tends to focus on that one problem. But as soon as the media stops reporting on that major issue of concern, it's as though the problem never existed. So what programs, what strategies do you think should be implemented in order to better educate the public about ongoing issues?
That's part of what we do when we publish articles and we host events. We try to inform the public as much as possible on issues like this in a really unbiased way. And I think what's important in situations like this is it's to understand what as a whole it's affecting. It's not just the migrants that are in danger, it's the region as well. And what does that mean? That means something like NATO or the EU that's actively involved in the migrant crisis over there in the region, how do they work with other major international organizations like the Red Cross, or even if it could be UNICEF or whatever it may be? These situations, as unfortunate as they are, such as the migrant crisis, they open up a lot of work and a lot of opportunities within foreign affairs and international relations. So I think a crisis like the migrant crisis, it invites people outside of politics that are more focused maybe on humanitarian issues and things like that to get involved with the NATO Association to check out our events, to check out our articles, to get more educated. Because now, if you want to be someone that saves lives and to be a humanitarian in this world, and you want to do that for a living, well, all of a sudden now you have to have a basic sense of what's going on in the political sphere in the world. And that's where we come in. We're the bridge, right, to connect Canadians, to let them know where Canada is in line with NATO, where we stand in the international realm. And at the same time, for example, what I write on expanding the community, it's relations between NATO and non-member countries as well. So a crisis, it's unfortunate, it's a terrible thing, and nobody wants disasters to happen. But the only good positive outcome out of all this is that it invites other industries to get together and align. So I think a crisis like this, we could see in the future more and more people getting involved with the NATO Association, and they should be. We should be the number one resource for everybody to kind of check out and to learn more on politics and how it can affect their work in the future.
And I encourage everyone to go on the NATO Association of Canada's website, look at all of the programs that we have to offer. We have program editors who are dedicated to releasing publications every week, so we certainly do have a strong and committed team of professionals here.